Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of May, recording at 9:18 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights, and this is an interesting day. The Asian stock markets mostly continued the sell-off, but big gains in Europe and also on Wall Street. Now, moving on to other markets, the government bonds, well, they were steady to flat in Europe, but declined in the U.S. Against the background of this stock market rally. And in currencies, the dollar was weaker here today, particularly against the yen. And in metals, mostly firmer in here, gold trading at 650. In the after-hours activity. Okay, well, never a dull moment in these stock markets. Today in Europe and the USA, we definitely have more evidence of the upward dynamics that I was talking about that were required to put at least a temporary floor under these markets. Now on Tuesday, when we had the first upward dynamic, as the day started out relatively firmly, you may recall I covered most of my shorts, my hedge short positions. I didn't cover them all. I left the Dow out. I wanted to have at least a small amount of cover against my long investment portfolio, asymmetrical cover, of course, because I don't have any U.S. in the investment, U.S. Investments. Now, when markets slipped back, I was wondering if perhaps I'd jumped the gun in saying, as I did on Tuesday, that I thought we were beginning what would be a technical rally and right-hand extension phase to the overall top formations. In other words, this is this classic type 2 top, as taught at the chart seminar for many, many years, where markets, the type 2 extreme reaction against the prevailing trend, usually preceded by a failed upside break. Then, as the same markets fall very rapidly, shock investors become oversold, deeply oversold in the short term, then get a technical rally, sort of a ranging recovery, and right-hand extension to the overall top formation before heading somewhat lower. That's what I envisage, and I've been trying to talk us through it every step of the way. So I think that given today's action in Europe and the United States, I would be astonished if we didn't get some pretty good gains in the Asian stock markets tomorrow on Friday. And we might close out the week really well. But again, expect to be surprised as often as not in this period of increased volatility in the markets. But again, as I say, it looks like this right-hand extension top formation phase has commenced. How long it will last, how big the rallies will be, well, they will vary from market to market. And the answers to those questions will more than likely be determined, excuse me, or certainly influenced, if not determined, by events that unfold. In other words, what's actually happening with interest rates, what happens in the commodities markets, and so on. So global tension, stronger commodity prices would tend to cap these rallies. And on the other hand, if there's further evidence that rates aren't going to go up, then they could be a little bit stronger. But I think few of the indices, if I'm right on the medium-term correction, and all we've seen so far is a correction that was certainly faster and in almost every instance steeper than what we had seen previously over the 39 months since this rally began in March 2003. But as I say, if I'm right on the medium-term correction, very few of these indices are likely to get up into new high ground. A few may actually get close. And what else to mention? Now, how to actually play it? Well, carefully is my answer, and I've said that on a number of occasions. So let me go on and try to cover what I think are some of the more important updates here in the markets. Government bonds. Now, the U.S. 30-year treasuries were up on the day earlier on, but then closed down nearly half a point, actually 14 32nds, at 106.21, just off the low of the day. And that is entirely a reflection of the stock market's rally. So the bonds are really taking their cue right now from the stock markets. And you know my script. I said that I didn't think we'd see a decent bond market rally without a frightening sell-off in stock markets. And that's what we've seen here recently. And I don't think the rally has legs while equities are rallying. The bond market rally doesn't have legs while the equities are rallying in the manner that we've seen today. Except there is one other factor, though, that could make that forecast wrong. I said a while back, I'm sure I wrote a piece on this, and trust I mentioned it at least once in the audios, that I suspected that in this inflationary environment, and obviously central banks don't want to have too much inflation, but I've said all along that they would be erring on the side of inflation. And when inflation did rear up, they would have to take some action, but that their main job would be to, and main priority would be seen as to preserve growth and to keep the housing markets around the world from collapsing. So, in other words, to keep consumer spending going despite some fairly high debt levels in a number of countries, not least in the USA. Now, so the bottom line on that is when push comes to shove, the central banks will inflate. But what I had mentioned before, and repeat here now, is that given the stock market sell-off and the collateral damage that predictably caused among a number of these high-flying commodity markets, and given the reduction in the velocity of money and the additional tightening of monetary policy that the market sell-off represented, I think it's quite likely that central banks, given the slightest encouragement, and that would be a month or two of reasonable figures on inflation, might well declare a mock victory and say that inflation is contained once again. And in that event, bond markets would like it, and the stock market would like it also, and it wouldn't do any harm to the commodity markets. Now, the so I think that's quite likely to be the case at some stage, is to say they will claim at least a partial victory in inflationary in the inflationary against the inflationary pressures. Now, the other side of the script would be the other possibility, the opposite possibility would be that central banks take a hard line here, and possible in Europe, although I kind of doubt it. But they may be emboldened if stock markets get quite a decent rally, moving, say, retracing two-thirds, three-quarters of the declines we've seen. And that would be a bit optimistic. But if they were to get that, central banks might well decide to take a somewhat tougher stance and announced that they were going to remain vigilant against inflation and that they were going to raise interest rates a little bit further. And I think that would certainly that would end the rally and put downward pressure on stock markets once again. So they will continue to be influenced by markets as they have been all along. And the weaker markets, stock markets are, the less likely the central banks are to increase interest rates. Now there's another complication in here, and that's what happens, concerns what happens with the commodities. When gold, for instance, came off its low, and spot gold got down, and I think this is in the Asian trading, got down to 639, although it was hovering around the 640 level this morning in Europe. But when gold started to rally, then that, and it rallied fairly sharply at one point, that did put a crimp in the stock market rally temporarily. So the complication that I was describing is that if commodity prices start to surge again on the upside, and in commodities I maintain that most of the surprises will be on the upside. You know, the supply and elasticity theme persists. This is a secular bull market. And another factor that would have probably had a bigger influence on stock markets than the gold that I just mentioned, and I didn't mean to overlook this, so I introduce it now, is that the oil price rallied up. And currently we have the NYMEX crude trading at 71.45. So that bounced back up. And energy would be the most influential commodity as far as stock markets are concerned. So if that were to push up above the recent high at 75 and a bit, that would certainly represent a strong headwind for stock markets. So we need to keep an eye on all these sectors and to always bear in mind how a move in one area will affect sentiment on other areas. But the big driver here, for the most part, is the is the stock market. And I have mentioned, you know, the what I've called the contagion or the cascade effect, that if stock markets were really weak, that would cause people to close out positions elsewhere, and so that would hit the high-flying commodity markets and some of the depressed markets, as we saw, which were bond prices, government bond prices, and also the U.S. dollar would see some temporary steadying overall. So if we get the right-hand extension rally, which is I was banking on Tuesday when I covered most of my stock market asymmetrical hedge shorts and also bought some gold and silver, although I made a bit of a hash of the gold and silver purchases. But if we rally, rain get a sort of a ranging recovery in equity markets, partial recovery over the next few weeks, that could unleash some decent moves in the precious metal sector, provided they aren't too strong to spook the stock market. So you see, there's a lot to cover here, a lot to monitor in all this. And we can assume that investors will remain fairly nervous here overall, and therefore markets will remain really quite volatile. And I think that's just about it. So enjoy. All the best.